Jean's turn. Part 1. Descent and Deprivation. Written and read by Melina Blanc. If I do die before I finish this story, don't worry. I'll be a ghostwriter. This is the rest of Chapter 5, Vampire Vigilante. Seizing the seal, Jared vaulted off the chair to shelter behind the cabinet, straining to peer around the side at the form in the frame. "Good evening," said the vampire, ducking his head to peer through the sash. "What in damnation is on your door?" A spark of hope flared in his heart. "It seems to work on the window as well," the vampire continued, touching a gloved palm to it. Then, without warning, hurling his body weight against the glass, there was a sound of impact, and Jared flinched back, but the pain held firm. As he poked his head back out around the cabinet, the vampire gave him a sour grin. "I don't suppose you'd condescend to invite me in, just as a sort of experiment." Jared eased his head out farther to get a better view of him, ready to duck back in a moment's notice. "Not in your fucking life. Really, young people these days, leaving a collar out on the doorstep." "What fucking doorstep?" The vampire scowled at him. "Well, I would come by the doorstep, only there's something above it for which I do not care." Hope swelled into triumph. "The words of God! You take issue with those?" "Is that what that is?" The face at the window twisted with consternation. "You never seen a mezuzah before? They're not uncommon around here." "Well, I don't usually make house calls, but after our last appointment was such a side-splitting experience, I thought I'd drop by to see how you were holding up. See if I had you in stitches."
"Yeah? Kind of hot for gloves, isn't it? Just think they're so keen."
Keen looked down, stretching the fingers sheathed in black leather as if examining them for flecks of dust.
"I confess, when I gave you my name, I didn't think you'd have much occasion to use it."
His eyes flicked back up, cast just a head too low for conversation. They lingered there, watching the movement as Jared swallowed, then raised to pierce into his.
"Look, if we are to carry on with this clandestine battle affair..."
"Who says we are?"
"Pardon?"
"I never agreed to fight you again. I'm done. You can't get in, so get lost."
He blinked, then started to laugh.
"Oh, come now. You thought you were out. Did you really think this vampire affair wouldn't come back to bite you?"
Jared grimaced, sensing the infirmity of his position.
"No. No, you are overruled. I'll see you lured over to the power station again, right enough."
"No goddamn way! I'm not falling for that ceiling panel bullshit again."
"It was a tarp, you prat. A part of a trap. You were wrapped and I was wrapped."
"Wow, you really like anagrams."
The vampire paused, a queer glimmer in his eye. Then he let out a breath.
"Yes, well, at least I'm not a darn jester. Or should I say, a day's renter?"
Jared thought about this, then, extending an arm, he snatched a pencil and pad off the desk and, holding the tablet up against the cabinet, scrawled "darn jester" and "day's renter," then swiftly crossed out the letters one at a time. He stiffened as he progressed. J-A-R-E-D-S-T-E-R-N. Y-A-R-E-D-S-T-E-R-N.
You know my name.
The vampire grinned.
Of course I know your name. I know where you live. That doesn't follow. You're stalking me! I am at your window. But you, what, went through my mail? You didn't have any mail. Holy shit!
Keen regarded him mildly.
Every man needs a hobby. Stalking people is mine.
He cast a cavalier glance around Jared's apartment.
And what a dreary nest I found.
Dreary nest, was that... Wait. Yavit Stern? Really?
Yes. You've never played with it?
It's not the sort of thing a normal person does.
God forbid I should ever be such a thing. Now, if you'd exchange that tablet for the matter of battle, you need to die. Still, I see no reason we can't be civil about it. Let's lay down some ground rules, shall we?
What, are you kidding me? The evil undead follow rules.
I can be bargained with. In our mutual best interest, of course.
But what do you care about fighting? If I don't come after you...
The vampire tilted his head.
You've cheated me 4 times already, Red. As I say, you need to die. And if you don't come after me, well, that leaves me no recourse but to come after you on my own terms. If, however, I can be well enough assured you'll attend your execution, there's no need to do anything dramatic in the meantime. Hence, rules of engagement, to wit, Rule 1.
He raised a thumb.
We are to meet as appointed to fight in single combat. Rule 2.
He raised a finger.
You are not to involve anyone else. Tell no one about me. And Rule 3.
He raised another finger.
I am not to burn your warded dwelling to the ground. I shan't besiege you in your bed. Play by the rules, and you can rest in peace.
Jared took a few moments to process this.
That is fucking extortion!
Nothing of the kind. We both have a benefit and a hindrance. Pay attention.
And so if I, what, decide to keep my mouth shut, I'm just supposed to trust you to hold up your end?
If I meant to kill you at any cost, I'd have burnt down this building last night when you were pacing furrows into its floors.
Yeah, I don't get that. If you want me dead so bad, why restrict yourself? Why risk a fight?
Because...
The vampire replied, looking him straight in the eye.
I still entertain hopes of getting my fangs in your throat.
Jared winced.
No, no. There are worse ways to die. In a fire, say.
Uh-huh. And what else I don't get? Why don't you want me to tell anyone? Anyone in particular you're worried about?
No.
You sure about that? You're awfully careful, breaking in here.
Well, of course I'm careful. Back in the good old days, one could just dump bloodless bodies by the wayside. And if anyone paid any heed, it was generally your lot that got the blame for it. Which I suppose, in light of recent revelations, has worked out well for me.
But nowadays... So the cops do pose some kind of threat to you?
He snorted.
To be perfectly honest, yes, it would be a mess. The mounting of a feeble defense, consequent slaughter, blood everywhere. The dry cleaning bills alone, trust me, Mr. Hero. Leaving the police out of this is to their advantage.
Jared gritted his teeth.
There's always witness protection.
Witness protection. From a vampire.
From a murderous psychopath who tried to kill me in my bed.
He shook his head. That's not how it works, Red. I am not a branded criminal.
Then why make a big deal about it? Unless there's something I could do that would hurt you.
The vampire sneered at him.
Alas, it is merely the principle of the thing. I cannot very well make a habit of being cited and circulated.
So I can tell the papers.
They wouldn't believe you.
Tabloids will.
Who believes them? Although they do make good menus.
Is that how you found me?
What?
He frowned.
No. I followed you home.
Oh!
He'd been just as careful going through Times Square, albeit with less difficulty pushing his way through the crowd in his red stained shirt.
You couldn't before, right?
But I have your scent now, Red. Besides which,
he flashed his fangs.
You were bleeding.
Jared shuddered.
No, but then, why didn't you attack right away? You were trying to lull me into a sense of security?
No, I was waiting to get hungry.
The implications of this forged an unwelcome connection in Jared's mind between the second motionless figure he'd sighted at the power station and Judy's distress in the lobby of her apartment building.
You killed someone after you ran, didn't you? Another homeless guy?
The vampire shook his head, grinning.
Not a whit. I picked him off earlier. No good having a pick-me-up pick himself up and pick his way.
Without thinking, Jared strode out from behind the cabinet, the Seal of Solomon held up before him. Something flickered in the black of the vampire's eyes, and he rose, taking a step back, then another, pressing into the rusted rail of the fire escape as Jared raised the seal to the window.
That was a human being! A thinking, feeling person, not an object!
Snarling, the vampire gripped the rail in one hand and swung both legs over in a smooth motion, wedging his shoes between the bars on the outer side of the platform and clutching the rail to hang back out of the seal's sphere. Relieved of the pressure, his grin returned.
Oh, get off that high horse. Those people lead miserable lives and have no one to miss them. I'm doing them a favor.
How the hell would you know?
He raised his brows.
So it's an assumption, but it's hardly far-fetched. At the very least, I'm doing the city a favor.
He finished with a leer.
Taking out the trash.
You monster!
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Jared's fingertips brushed the window, and he imagined, for an instant, he felt an energy there, a hum in vibration with the feeling stoking his soul. The Seal of Solomon seemed to grow hot in his hand, and he had a sense, suddenly, that what he was seeing was not all that there was, that there was something like light that was not light around the window, around the seal, and that there was something like dark that was not dark around the creature hanging back off the fire escape, straining away from him, a now pallid face averted. The peace that had briefly been his in the power station returned, and all tension melted from his body.
I'm changing the battlefield,
he heard himself say. The pale face turned back to him, a hand releasing the railing to shield the eyes, the teeth bared in a snarl.
Are you now?
The vampire hissed.
To what?
The Navy Yard Complex, Brooklyn,
he said, remembering the article on the ghost sightings from the morning.
One of the buildings is abandoned. A hospital.
Fitting. You're going to need one. So be it. But to the matter of rules, do we have a deal?
Sure, only I'm expanding the terms. You can't attack me at home, period. You can't take me by surprise. No attacking me unawares, only on the battlefield. In return, I won't tell anyone you're a vampire. But step out of line, you'll be front page news.
There was a silence as the vampire cast him a narrow stare through eyes of black glass.
Agreed, he murmured at length. After sunset on Saturday.
What Saturday?
Wherefore? You have other plans.
About a test. Sunset on Sunday. You leave me the hell alone on Saturday.
Teal, he replied, grinning obscenely. See you on the Sabbath. Mine, that is.
Releasing the rail, the vampire dropped from the fire escape and vanished into the dark, leaving Jared staring out at the night. He stood there for a moment, then let out a long breath.
This Sunday.
He could still back out. He could run.
Fragments of conversation replayed in his head. He remembered Taryn's pleading. He remembered Judy's pain. And he remembered the vampire's jeer, the wanton smile breaking across his face. Warmth radiated from the seal, still clutched in the hand, fallen to his side.
Screw him. I'm not doing it for his rules. I'm doing it 'cause he's gotta be stopped.
It was decided. No matter how much he worried, no matter how hard it got, he was going to fight. Be a vampire. Vigilante.
Anti-Batman.
Thank you for listening. Since you're still here, would you mind leaving a quick review? It doesn't need to be anything fancy, just a little something to help me pick up speed. Join me next time as Jared gears up to work his way through his weekend's full social calendar. I hope to tell you tales again soon.